class a little bit about Christmas and Jesus and Krishna consciousness. So I was thinking, okay, how can I make this kind of holiday-like? And I got a little bewildered. And then I thought, well, maybe I should tell a story. Everyone likes stories. And then I thought, okay, well, how can I get some kind of a holiday theme in there? And then I thought, Santa, saintly, and a deer. And I thought, a great story. The great saint, Maharaj Bharat. And once upon a time, he met a deer. And so I'll tell you that story. There's a lot of lessons. In the Vedic literature, there's so many stories, not just of Krishna, but so many associates, his expansions, his forms, and great leaders like kings. And it discusses all about their characteristics and about their challenges in life, material and spiritual. And we can imbibe them within ourselves and see how they can apply to maybe our lives. And we can learn many, many lessons. This particular person, we're going to have to speak about three different lives that he had. There was, once upon a time, there was a king of the world. His name was Maharaj Rishabhdev. And he had 100 sons, very qualified sons. If you look over on that board, there's one book called Spiritual Yoga. And these are very, very heavy instructions that King Rishabhdev gave to his 100 sons. And he sat them down because he was thinking of retiring from his worldly, mundane duties. And he wanted to instruct his sons how to maintain the wonderful kingdom that he had actually created. He was a very saintly king, Rajarshi, very much connected with the Supreme Lord. He ruled his citizens very fairly and was very much liked and loved by his citizens. But it was time. After 1,000 years or so of ruling, he decided, I'm going to leave, so now I must instruct my sons. And the teachings were about how to really utilize this human form of life, not to waste it, because it's very, very precious. There's so many animals, but they're not here in this room today. Just some living entities in human form can actually ask questions and want answers to what life is about. One particular son, Bharat, was extremely qualified, and he took up the instructions very, very seriously. And he was given the kingdom and ruled also for many thousands of years. He also was very fair in his dealings with all the different citizens. He performed many, many sacrifices, duly doing that and taking care of all the citizens, not just the humans, but also the animals were very happy. The whole planet was happy. And actually, you can ask most of the Indian-born people in the room that India was actually named after him, Bharat Varsha, because he was such a wonderful king that to this day, after thousands of years, that tract of land is known as India. That actually was his part of his whole world kingdom of Bharat Varsha. And so he inherited this position very seriously. And he also, too, he worshipped the Supreme Lord very diligently. And he was getting older also, and just like father, just like son, he decided that it's time also to renounce my material businesses and go to the forest and concentrate on my spiritual life. He understood that it is the most important thing that he finish up his business and get out of here for good and all. So he was, he decided to do this, and he left for the forest by himself. And he went deep into the forest. He didn't have an RV, he didn't have a TV, and he didn't even have a phone. Can you imagine leaving your phone at home and going to the forest, no bottled water, nothing. And living like an ascetic. And he worshipped the Supreme Lord very all day long. He just did different performances of gathering foods, offering it to Krishna, doing so many things. I don't know if any of you ever read the book by Dhanavir Swami, but he also tells a story when he was he was in Israel and he got enlisted into the army, and they wanted him to like really get into it and fight and everything. And he said, "Actually, I'm priestly, and I have to perform my worship." And he said, "Well, how long can that take?" You know. But he actually showed them that he could make it take all day long, and so he actually was relieved of that duty. But so Mark Maharaj also was very, very busy in his service to the Supreme Lord, meditating. He didn't have a roll call from anyone to see if he was a Mangal Artik, but every day he was there chanting his mantras and concentrating on the Supreme Absolute Truth, Lord Krishna. So much so that he began to exhibit symptoms of ecstasy. Actually, he's reaching such a high level of love of Godhead that he was just actually almost on the highest level of pure love of Godhead. And so one day he was meditating, and all of a sudden it was broken by a roar, a really loud roar of a lion. And so you can imagine, if you're out in the forest and all of a sudden you hear a lion, you're going to be a little bit disturbed. He opened his eyes and broke his meditation, and he saw a deer carrying a foal inside was being chased by this lion, and he was jumping. And as he jumped to the death of the deer, the baby deer fell out. And Maharaj Bharat saw this and knew that now the deer was left, no one to take care of him. And so, being kind to all living entities, he went over and embraced that deer and said, "Who else is going to take care of this deer but me?" So he gathered the deer up in his arms and took it back to his place, and gathered some grasses and tried to figure out how to maintain the life of this deer. And he was still doing his puja and everything, but every once in a while he would kind of look out of the side of his eye to check and make sure the deer was okay and not quite so focused, but he was still chanting and every day also taking care of the deer and taking care of his worship and then fondling the deer and playing with it, setting it on its lap, even kissing the deer. And he became very much attached to this deer, like its mother. But Bharat Maharaj was alone. He went to the forest very close to an ashram, but he didn't go to the ashram. He was by himself. And our spiritual master comments that it is best that one not go alone like that, that one have some association, some like-minded association, be in an ashram, even a renounced ashram, so that one can have that strength and to be checked. But Maharaj Bharat was not checked, and his activities became more and more directed towards his deer and less towards his worship of the Supreme Lord, so much so that no longer chanting his mantras, and then no longer doing his worship, only worrying about the deer and caring for the deer. And so this is something that we should be very careful about, because this can happen, although in Alachua we are checked by... How many devotees here? About 700 devotees. You go to the grocery store and you're going along. Everyone's looking in, the other devotees looking in your buggy. What you got? chocolate ice cream. So we don't get away with anything, right? But Maharaj Bharat, he got away. He unfortunately didn't have that association. And he fell from the path of bhakti. Here he was on the highest level of love of God. And then down to the worship of an animal. Not that one can't take care of an animal, but materially just giving the comfort and not being able to help it spiritually and then losing your own spiritual values, that is not the direction that one should go. So this was extremely sad. And so gradually he became so attached, and then one day the deer wasn't around. The deer didn't show up, He started to be very upset and everything. And this went on for days and days. And he became so filled with separation from this deer that death knocked on his door. And he left his body. And what was he thinking of? The deer. So, that was such a situation. It's described that whatever one thinks about at the time of death, that consciousness will put you into the womb of another mother, very similar to your desires. So, when he awoke, we used to do this play, The Three Lives of Mahabharata. Remember, I think it was Shalagram Sheela, she came up and she looked at her hooves and her body and goes, oh no, a deer body. Krishna was so kind that he knew Maharaj Bharat's sincerity, but could see this fall down, so he gave him a deer body. Some body that will be very quickly over with, so that he could get back onto the path. Normally, we always hear that if you take one bite of prasadam, then you're guaranteed at least a human form of life, right? So we're thinking, phew, at least I got that together. I'll be a human anyway. But he didn't get a human form of life. He got a deer body. But that was extra mercy, because then he was able to finish up that lifetime very quickly, a very simple life, and that was the plan. Recently, I had a meet in Tampa with a financial planner, and I never met one before, and I was thinking, you know, they want to protect you for the rest of your life and figure out how to manage your money and do this and that, 2.5 hours of this and that. And I was thinking, these people need a spiritual manager. They need something to protect them so they don't end up in these other bodies again. They need to manage their life so they can, like these great leaders, finish up their business and leave this home and material world and go back to Krishna ultimately. But unfortunately, he didn't complete his plan in those two lives. And so we see that he actually decided on a different plan. I know many of my friends that are over 60 years old. There's a buzzword going around. It's, I want to downsize, right? I've been hearing it from all my friends. I want to downsize. I don't need this big house. I'm tired of picking up sticks on 5 acres. I want to downsize. I want to start managing my life so that I can become detached from this material world and to get focused on the spiritual world, smaller, until I can just focus on Krishna. So this is something that we should consider, all of us, that we should plan our lives such that we can become more spiritually adept, more strong in our spiritual life as our life goes on. So this is something we should all plan on. So anyway, he woke up in a deer body, and he decided to plan a little differently this lifetime. He went to the ashram that was close to where he was, and he took shelter there in the ashram, or very close to the ashram. He would come every day, and he would take the remnants of the food that maybe the great sages left, and he would listen to the Bhagavatams, distant recitations of the glories of Krishna. And then he would bathe sometimes in the holy rivers, and he just stayed in the holy dham. And he benefited so greatly, and no one bothered him. It was just a little deer, you know, coming around. And probably they threw some little remnants at him, and maybe petted him or something like this. So this worked out very, very well, and he was very happy simply being a deer, and life went very quickly. And he was actually meditating on Krishna during this time. He was focused on Krishna. Very simple life. And so at the time of death, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that one who's very sincere, that if they don't make it in this lifetime, they'll at least be born into a family, like a Brahmin family, where worship is going on and Krishna is there in their life from the very beginning. I see all these kids sometimes and I think, wow, what they must have done last lifetime, you know. Even this little baby we had here, brand new little, gorgeous little baby, you know, born into such a wonderful family, must have been a great soul or yogi or something, you know, to make it so easy. So Bart was born into a very elevated Brahmin family. He had a lot of brothers and sisters. But he was thinking, this is pretty risky. Here I am in this family, and you can get attached, and I don't want to associate with the wrong people again. I don't know what to do. And so he, from birth, he just said, I'm going to be dumb. I'm going to act like I'm just dumb, that I can't speak, that I really can't do anything right, and people will just leave me alone. And I can just meditate on Krishna and be peaceful. And his father, seeing Judd Bharat, as they called him, Dumb Bharat, his father saw him, and this was his son, and he tried so hard to train the boy. And he tried to send him to school. That didn't work, so he personally tried to train him how to be clean, and everything that they taught him to do right, he did wrong. And everyone was getting frustrated with him, because here's this young boy, and he's just acting, like a deaf and dumb person. And so it was very difficult for the family. And, of course, his brothers were not very nice to him, thinking, oh, this boy is useless, and we're such great pundits and pukka, and so brahminical ourselves, and he can't even do anything, can't even read or write or study scripture. And his father was frustrated at times, but he loved him very much, and he tried and tried. And then death knocked on the door of the father, and the father passed away. And then Judd Bharat was left in a family of some very abusive relatives. And they abused him so badly that they would not feed him properly. They threw him rotten grains, and they made him work hard and abused him in horrible, horrible ways. And this went on for quite some time. But Judd Bharat was at a realized point of understanding that he is not this body. That no matter what you do to me, you're not hurting me, the soul. This is a very advanced. I mean, we say, yeah, you're not your body, but go stand in a pile of red ants for a little while. You feel your body, we're not on that total realized level of being beaten and abused like that, where he didn't really care, didn't really bother him. He was at that level. But it got pretty bad, and finally the brothers sent him out to the fields. They didn't know what to do with him. They just watch the fields out there day and night, just throw him a few rotten grains and keep the hogs out of my garden and just be there. And so Judd Bharat would just sit there. And then one evening, some dacoits who were trying to make some extra brownie points with Mother Durga decided that they needed to capture a offering for Mother Durga, for Kali. And they found Judd Bharat sitting there like a dumb man. And they considered him like a half animal, like animal man. And figured this would be a good offering for Durga. He's no better than an animal. So they captured him very easily, because Judd Bharat was not resisting anything. And they brought him to the goddess Durga. And they were thinking, yes, she will be so pleased. And, they were sharpening their swords and getting ready for the whole ceremony. And Mother Kali is there with all her arms. And then saw Judd Bharat and recognized, this is not a man animal. This is a great devotee. A great pure devotee, a self-realized soul, and these dacoits are going to offer him to me. So they started dancing around, chindi bindi chop 'em up, whatever the song is, And all of a sudden, when the Kali grabs her swords and off of the heads of all the dacoits. And there, Judd Bharat was able to get up and be free. Krishna always protects his devotee, no matter what. He's always looking at the devotee. There's no reason ever to fear. And Judd Bharat was left walking. And Mother Kali was very happy that she was able to liberate this man from such a horrible life. But it wasn't over yet. Jed Bharat was wandering around, and the king at that time had some pelican carriers, and they were missing one man. Usually, you know, it takes a few up front, a few in the back. And if you don't have one of them, then you can get off. And, you know. So they went and they found Jed Bharat. He was a very strong body. He'd been working very hard. And they said, oh, you come here. You come here and help me carry this. You know, you serve the king. It's your duty. Come here. And Jed Bharat, whatever. He was immersed in Krishna, whatever. And he was employed by this king to be his pelican carrier. And so they're going along, and of course, being a realized soul, he could see every living entity as spirit soul, not wanting to do any harm or violence. And there he was walking, and ants were in his path. And he was thinking, I can't step on the ants. Oh, you know, that's not nice. So he was trying to step over them and walking a little crazy and, you know, giving a little rough ride for the king. And the king stopped and said, what's going on here? You know, why is I getting such a bumpy ride? This is not right. And the other carrier said, it's not us. It's him. He said, I don't know what's going on. He said, well, you get it straightened out. And they're going all along again, and again, the king is having a rough ride. And he stops, and he gets out of his chair, and he points very heavily at Jed Bharat. And he very sarcastically starts to blaspheme him. Oh, you are such a weakling. You can't carry my thing. Oh, you this and that. And he just was so nasty to his citizen. And at that point, Jed Bharat, being a king from other lives, was thinking, this king is not doing his duty properly. This is not how you take care of citizens. This is not how someone who is advanced in the position of a king should be treating their citizens. This is, and he could see that this was not a king of high quality. And he was taking the blasphemy and everything, and he's thinking, I need to say something. And to this point, he hadn't said anything. And then he says, so? Starts to speak to the king. He says, so you think that you're king and I am the carrier? Maybe in this lifetime, but it might be reversed in other lifetimes. I too was once a king. And then he starts to tell him of his realizations from his heart. He could actually project into the heart of that king the highest knowledge of what it really means to see everyone equally and to protect them, and what it really means to be Krishna conscious, to see everyone as equal, as servants of Krishna. And so he had so much knowledge, and he was not afraid to speak. And he spoke very, very beautifully. And the king was shocked that this man is speaking so elegantly. And then he started to really affect his heart, and he ended up prostrating on the ground and surrendering to Jed Bharat and receiving so many instructions. There is a prayer sung by our spiritual master, it's called Vaishnav K. Who is really a Vaishnav? What kind of a Vaishnav are you? And in there, there's a few of the verses. It's a very long song. There's a few verses that have a little bit to do with this story. Because pleasing Krishna, as Jed Bharat did this in his last lifetime, he was liberated. He got to go back to Krishna. So the first prayer is about a little bit about this renunciation of how careful we should be in choosing a renounced order of life. This is a little warning of what a real Vaishnav sees as renunciation. One who falsely gives up things that could actually be used in the Lord's service proudly calls himself a renunciate. But unfortunately, he can never become a Vaishnava by such an attitude. Abandoning his servitorship to the lotus feet of Lord Hari and resigning himself to his solitary home, Whatever is gained by that exercise can only be the worthless treasure of deception. So false renunciation, you should be very cautious of that. Srila Prabhupada actually taught us to see everything as Krishna's and to offer it to him, and that's real renunciation. So we can all be renunciates by giving everything, especially our hearts, to Krishna. And then as we just were hearing how Maharaj Bharat, he finally spoke and how potently he was preaching to this person. This is another verse. The most valuable treasures amongst the Lord's preachers are the eternal personalities residing in Rajadham. They never occupy themselves with begging for worthless material reputation, which is cherished only by the living dead. The Brajavasis are truly infused with life, and therefore they preach in order to give life to the walking corpses of the mundane world. All the songs that the Brajavasis sing about the glories of Lord Krishna are devoid of any tinge of desire for fame. So Maharaj Bharat, he wasn't thinking, oh, I'm going to speak and then I'll get praised by the king. This was his duty. He felt it in his heart that I have some realization and I want to give it to somebody else. So this is the greatest service that we can do. Everyone benefits. The person hearing and the devotee benefits. And Krishna is pleased. And therefore in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the preachers are so very, very dear to him. So this is very important. So there's many, many different things we can learn from this story. But most of all is that we should be very cautious in this human form of life and not waste it. Figure out how we can use it to perfection, whatever it might be, if it is in your household life or if it's in your renounced order life or whatever it is. Use it and give the results to Krishna and you will advance so quickly. And be careful that you're always around devotees. You're always being checked by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, because that is 80-100% of our advancement is the association of others, advanced association. So we should beg, borrow, steal, but get that association and try to keep it. And then, of course, this was three lives of Bharat Maharaj. So we have to realize that we have to be patient. It might not be that this is our last lifetime, but we should make the best use of it. And we can see that the more and more we engage in Krishna's service, we're getting more and more in our transcendental bank account. We're getting closer and closer. And the next lifetime, Krishna loves us, and he will be merciful upon us. He'll figure out the best thing for us to advance closer and closer to him. So we have to be very patient and stick to the path. Let Krishna orchestra this lifetime, this one lifetime. Let him orchestra and figure out the best thing for us to do and to reach him, because he wants us back more than we really want to be back. And then we can realize that in this age, the easiest way to really become absorbed and not get distracted by a little fawn or a little whatever it might be, there are going to be obstacles. We're not, devoid of that. They're everywhere. They're even in our minds. So many different things. But the chanting of the holy names, this is the recommended process in this age. Prabhupada has been very kind to us. He delivered Lord Chaitanya's message. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. And he's saying that if you really want deliverance in this lifetime, it's easy. It's made so easy. You don't have to do fire sacrifices. You don't have to become a renounced order of life. You just have to chant these holy names, because that will purify your heart. And then you'll receive that highest love of Godhead. Then when things get in your way and there are distractions, you can let them roll off your back, just like Jed Bharat. All the abuses and everything just rolled off his back because he was thinking of the Supreme Absolute Truth. So the last song, the last verse in this series of verses about what a real Vaishnava is: this humble servant of Radha and her beloved Krishna always hopes for kirtan, and he begs all to loudly sing the names of Lord Hari. The transcendental power of congregational chanting automatically awakens remembrance of the Lord and his divine pastimes in relation to one's own eternal spiritual form. Only at that time does it become possible to go off to a solitary place and engage in the confidential worship of their lordships. So this is the binding agent with us and Krishna, that will give us his highest realization is getting together and chanting his holy name. And we all experience it every time we do it, right? Yesterday was nice, even on the streets of Gainesville, chanting to cars. It was so nice to be together and to glorify God. So this is the best way to remember Krishna. And if there are obstacles, they will go past. And we'll be so concentrated on the Lord at the time of death that Yamaraj won't be knocking. Actually, Krishna will come and take us back home, back to Godhead. So this is a saint story for today. Anybody have any questions, or maybe like to say a little bit more about the story? I'm sure I missed a lot of details. It's a wonderful story and a wonderful drama performance. Really, I wish our drama troupe here would get it together and do the three lives of Jad Bharat. It's very, very effective. But it's something we should remember and take heed of in our life. Any questions? Yes, back there. Yes, not on. They're standing on the first altar. Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, this is our saving grace. They appeared just 500 years ago because Kali Yuga is, like you say, boy, it looks pretty hopeless for us. But Lord Chaitanya came and gave us this chanting process. It's the only way, really, to glorify God and to keep our minds fixed. We can chant for hours and hours and hours, unlimitedly, every single day. I mean, how many years we've been chanting, and it only gets better. We should still be very cautious. It is easy, but it's not very easy. If we stay in the association and all chant together, it can be very easy. But if we go off by ourselves and think we're going to just, you know, do some false meditation, we'll be swept away. So we are blessed by Lord Chaitanya's mercy of this simple process. And at the same time, we should realize that our spiritual master, he emphasized the chanting of Hare Krishna. 16 rounds a day, no way around it. And coming and glorifying Lord and going out and also glorifying. So these things were repeated many, many times because it is our saving grace. Anybody else? And there's two ways to control the tongue. One is chanting and one is honoring Bhagavat Prasadam. Jai Shri Krishna.